translation. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. Purport: a diplomat in the material world knows how to deal with people, especially in political affairs. Some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Ramananda Rai, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, were government officers and had a background of very opulent householder life. Consequently, they knew how to deal with people. In many instances, we have seen the diplomacy of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Ramananda Rai employed in the service of the Lord. When Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were to be arrested by the government officials, Raghunath Das Goswami hid them and personally met the government officers and settled the affairs diplomatically. This is but one instance. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami, after resigning his ministership, was thrown in jail and he bribed the attendant of the jail so he could leave the clutches of the Nawab and live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we see Ramananda Rai, a most confidential devotee of the Lord, diplomatically soften the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite the fact that the Lord definitely decided not to meet the king. The diplomacy of Ramananda Rai and entreaties of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all other great devotees succeeded. The conclusion is that diplomacy used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins by giving a definition of what it means to be diplomatic, what is diplomacy. Then he goes on to give examples of devotees who are very diplomatic, not just once, but many times over. So he speaks about Rupa Goswami, he mentions Rupa Goswami, then Sanatan Goswami is also mentioned, Raghunath Das Goswami, and of course also Ramananda Rai. I think for many of these devotees, we at least know one incident, if not more incidences, where they were quite diplomatic. Right? I was just thinking of Rupa Goswami, and I couldn't really, kind of at an instant, at a moment, kind of, yeah, see where Rupa Goswami was diplomatic. I don't know if devotees had any thoughts on that. Yeah, where Rupa Goswami was diplomatic. Then I did a little bit of reading, and apparently Rupa Goswami, how he left the service of Nawab, or how he left his employment, he did it in a somewhat diplomatic way. It is said that he made some mistake in some administration. He didn't steal, he didn't cheat, but he made some mistake in administration, because he was a private secretary of the Nawab.
Prime Minister,
of the Nawab. So Nawab kind of pointed this out. And sometimes it is said that Rupa Goswami may have done this on purpose. He made this mistake because he wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the Nawab chastised him, he took this opportunity to say to request the Nawab that maybe it's best I retire from this service. Yeah, because I've been making mistakes. So in this way then, he left, Nawab accepted, he left serving the Nawab, he left his job, and then he went to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Rupa Goswami, it is said that he was also somewhat diplomatic.
For some years they were kept in prison.
Yeah.
For some years.
Rupa Goswami, not so much, but specifically Sanatan Goswami. Right, Sanatan Goswami for quite some time, yeah, he was in prison. And then of course Sanatan Goswami, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, he bribed the attendant with the money that Rupa Goswami had left. And in this way Sanatan Goswami also left jail, and then he went to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
House arrest.
Okay. We hear specific details in the purport of how Sanatan Goswami got out, and also we hear also of Ramananda Rai, his diplomacy. Also Raghunath Das Goswami's diplomacy as well. We hear of that in the purport. And then Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, diplomacy used in the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Diplomacy used in the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. So that's interesting. Prabhupada, although we don't kind of say this directly, but Prabhupada was also quite diplomatic many times. I mean, we can even start from the beginning, right? The first initiations, right, that were there in 1960, that was there in 1966. Prabhupada didn't tell them that, you know, once when one takes initiation, there's the chanting of 2 hours, 16 rounds, approximately will take 2 hours. He didn't tell them of the regulative principles. Some devotees were, just before the ceremony, the day after Janmashtami in 1966, just before the ceremony, some devotees were discussing amongst themselves, what is this initiation? What does it mean? And then another devotee would reply, it's a formal acceptance of a spiritual master. So then the devotee would be like, yeah, I like Swamiji's teaching and how he teaches. So maybe, yeah, I can accept him, you know, as a spiritual master. Like this is what they were discussing. They weren't sure what was happening in terms of the fire sacrifice, right? They just kind of went along with Srila Prabhupada, right? And then at one point, at the end of the fire sacrifice, Prabhupada started dancing and going around the fire sacrifice, and they just followed Srila Prabhupada. And it is said that Prabhupada raised his hands, and he would kind of step, first kind of standing in one place and then moving, step side to side, the Swami step. So probably the first time that they saw Srila Prabhupada dancing in this way. And then it is said that afterwards, may have been the next day, Srila Prabhupada put up a letter, right, saying, what does this initiation mean? And now that you have taken initiation, you have to follow the four regulative principles, you know, like that. And you have to chant every day regularly, right, 16 rounds. Right, and then he also mentioned a couple of other things. When Brahmananda's mother came to see Srila Prabhupada, to see how the sons were doing, Gargamuni and Brahmananda, his father didn't want to even come and see Srila Prabhupada and come and see. He was just like dead against what had happened. So when the mother came, immediately Prabhupada told Brahmananda and Gargamuni, you should touch her feet. Right? And then, got Brahmananda and Gargamuni to settle the mother in nicely. Srila Prabhupada started speaking to the mother and giving her respects and so on. And then at one point, the mother was inquiring, how are you looking after my sons? And Srila Prabhupada said, we are feeding them, we are clothing them. And previously, they may have been engaged in taking drugs and not having any job and, you know, engaged in all sorts of crazy things as hippies would do. But I'm engaging them throughout the day, starting from 4:30 in the morning. So they're always busy, right, serving society. And helping, you know, they even, you know, by engaging him in this way, they're also keeping out of trouble. So I'm helping them so much. And therefore, you should be giving me money. You should be giving some donations. So Brahmananda's mother is like, you know, shocked, like, you already taken two of my sons, and now you're asking for more donations? You're asking for money? So when the mother said, see, Prabhupada said, thank you very much. Indicating that, thank you for giving the two sons. You know, like that. Another time Prabhupada had enough of the impersonalists and the Mayavads. Previously in India he would be in these meetings where he would be invited to speak together with other impersonalist Mayavad, other spiritualists, other religious leaders. So sometimes he would have enough of hearing from them and he would just say to the devotees, let's have kirtan, right? And in this way, you know, they would conclude the whole gathering. You know, devotees singing, dancing, and getting everyone to sing and dance. So then they were invited to, again, this religious meeting where there were going to be all these religious leaders, some dignitaries and impersonalists and Mayavads. Mayavadi people, right? So Srila Prabhupada said, I don't want to go. Gurudas, you go. Right? I don't want to go. So then Gurudas goes, and after hearing, you know, all sorts of strange and weird and wonderful things from the different speakers, and then Gurudas says, so you've been speaking about how everything is one, we're all one. So then that means Rasgulla and also Stool is also the same and is one. So then would you take Stool if I offer you Stool? So then everyone was shocked hearing this. Right? Some of these people were like sophisticated people, you know, coming from the high part of society and so on. And big leaders and so on. So then later on, they came to meet Srila Prabhupada and they started complaining about what Gurudas had said and how gross he was. All right? And Srila Prabhupada said, my American disciples, you know, in their enthusiasm, you know, sometimes they're very, very direct and bold. But they mean well. So Prabhupada was like more or less like, saying, you know, overlook this incident, overlook what he has said, you know, and that's sincere, they're nice people, you know, like that. And then later on, when these people went, he said to Guru Das, that was a very good example. What was the example again? Right? So he was in one sense saying, well done, Guru Das, thank you. Right? They need to hear this. You know, their philosophy is, whatever they're speaking is crazy. Yeah? So in this way, many incidences where Srila Prabhupada was very diplomatic, how he used diplomacy in the service of the Lord, right? Deflecting impersonalists and Mayavadis through his diplomacy, getting devotees through his diplomacy to take up to Krishna consciousness and engage in Krishna consciousness, right? To really dedicate their lives into Krishna consciousness. I suppose if you also look at your lives and how you came into Krishna consciousness, maybe there was also some diplomacy by the devotees, maybe some transcendental trickery by the devotees, maybe some, you could even say, some devotees even said they cheated me, right? The devotees cheated me into taking up to Krishna consciousness. I could say definitely for myself, I wasn't looking to be a devotee. I was looking to be a hero, right? To be something in the material world. So it's interesting how the devotees got me into Krishna consciousness. And maybe they weren't conscious of it. And there were different stages of trickery as well, right? Diplomacy. First, when I was at university, some of my friends, they already tricked. And, you know, because I was a hero, I didn't want to, like, I wanted to avoid Krishna consciousness and going to programs and so on and so forth. So they had mentioned it to me a few times. So then what they did is some of my friends, they got them to speak to me. Yeah, these programs, yeah, you should come. We're all going. We've been going to quite a few of them. Why don't you check it out? Why don't you try it out? Yeah, it's good. They give out some food. There is some kind of enlivening discussions and so on. And they seem like nice people. So just come along, check it out. It's nice. All of us are going. No, like this. So they said this a few times. So after a few requests from the devotees and after the friend saying this a few times to me, I went to check it out. Somehow, I kept going for a few years like this. I don't know what it was. Maybe the prasadam that was there at the end of the program, or maybe even the kind of like the poking of fun I was doing to the devotees in terms of asking them, you know, kind of questions, kind of debating with them and so on and so forth. So maybe I was getting a kick out of that. So I was going like this for 3 years. From my first year of university all the way to my third year of university. And then I went on to my fourth year of university. Just at the beginning of my fourth year of university, the devotees said, we don't really have anyone to run and facilitate these programs. The prasadam, inviting the guest speakers, the booking of the rooms, the promotion and so on and so forth at the university. We don't really have anyone. And you seem to be incoming for last so many years. Right? So, you know, you would be the best person. There are a few others, but they've just been around, you know, a short time. So you'd be the best choice. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, like, I would be the one in charge of these kind of programs and running of this program. So I was thinking like this. And they were thinking, this guy's got to pay back for all the prasadam and all the, you know, all the kind of, you know, questioning that he's done and put the devotees in kind of situations, right? Trying to corner them. So then they got me to organize these programs. And then what that means is I have to contact the devotees. Maybe sometimes even come to the temple, right? ISKCON London, Bhaktivedanta Manor, to invite the resident monks or invite other devotees, senior devotees, to come and facilitate these programs. So I was doing that, and then they said, now that you're running this program, this was the thing that I really wanted to avoid. I mean, I like the prasadam definitely. The questions and answers, the philosophy, the discussions was good. Taking up to the reading was okay, right? So at this time I was reading the Bhagavad Gita and comparing it with other scriptures and so on and so forth to my way from university and then back from university. So it was a 1 hour journey. So for about a good year, every day more or less, I would read 1 hour to uni, and on the way back also 1 hour as well. So then they were saying, you're running this program, you're heading this society, Krishna Conscious Society at university. You have to chant. You can't just like have this position. You should do one round, right, of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. So then, because I was attached, like I'm the president of the society, you know, like yeah. Otherwise they may remove me. I wanted to be a hero, right? So they got me to chant, right? Which I really didn't want to do. The last thing I wanted to do. And so, okay, so I took up to chanting. And that wasn't it. It's not like, okay, we'll leave this guy alone. Right? So I finished university and they said, okay, we want you to do programs. Now this service is over, you are amazing, you are good. We want you to do something on Sundays at Bhaktivedanta Manor to kind of hold some programs for the youth and many young people who come to Bhaktivedanta Manor on Sundays. Right? So then that got me to come to the manor every week on a Sunday, putting posters up and inviting different devotees to facilitate the programs and so on and so forth. So then I went to work, I finished university, started work and so on and so forth, coming weekly. Then at one point it came to every day coming here, somehow or the other. And then I started coming for the morning program. I think mainly the reason was the breakfast, prasadam, right? And then somehow or the other, I don't know why, I started coming earlier and earlier. So at one point, for some good time, for a few months, I was coming for the japa period, right? And even Mangalati as well. And then there was a patch in my life, a few months, where I was really questioning what I want to do next. So I just finished university. There was pressure from the parents of, kind of buying a house now that you're earning. Kind of the next step in the career, marriage and all of these kind of things. Yeah. And then also, I was also doing many other things on the side, like athletics. So I thought, should I pursue that? To run for England or India? You know, like this. So there was like a confusion at one point in my life. Right, where do I go next, and what is the next 25 years going to look like? So I went to a devotee, and he also, dealt with me, looking back in retrospect, quite diplomatically. I said, all these things are there, I don't know what, this person is saying this, the other persons are saying this, and then I'm watching these things in the movies and on TV, being a hero, like that in the world. So he said, he didn't really kind of go into the philosophy or give answers. He said, what do you really want to do? Put these people aside. Put all of these things aside. What do you really want to do? And that got me thinking. Throughout life, I've been just kind of doing things what other people have been doing and going through the stages of life, right, that, a person goes through school, high school, middle school, high school, college, university, work, and so on and so forth. Right? What do I really want to do? So that was the first question he asked me. And then he left a pause. And I was like, you know, like this. And then he asked me the second question. And he put it out there to me. He said, why don't you take some time out? This was a loaded question. Why don't you take some time out? And then he went on to the third question. Why don't you go on a sabbatical? Where you go 2-3 months to India on a pilgrimage. And then you spend a few months back at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And here you will get time to think about what you really want to do. Right? You can speak with different people. Right? Devotees. Senior devotees. Devotees who are in a professional field. Pray to, you know, when you go to the holy places, you can pray to the different deities. Get the mercy from the holy places. And also to Radha Gokulananda. This would be an amazing opportunity. Why don't you go on a sabbatical? Right? And, what could I do? What could I do? I went on a sabbatical. Yeah, I was cornered. I went on a sabbatical. Went to India, spent a few months here. And then, I don't know what it was. I don't know if they mixed something in the food or whatever else. Everything about me changed. My goals changed. My desires changed. And looking back, like in retrospect, every single thing, clothes I was wearing, foods I was eating, people I was around, everything changed. And at that point, I felt like, this is it. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is my life. I don't know why, but Bhaktivedanta Manor felt like my home. Also, the devotees felt like family. And it was it. That was it. But the trickery of the devotees wasn't over. I went to Shri Dhamma Prabhu and I said, I really want to stay, but my family, I don't know what to say to them. How will they take this? And Shri Dhamma Prabhu started laughing. And I was thinking, like, why is he laughing? Like, this is a serious thing. This is like make or break my life, you know? This is like very important. If I don't deal with my parents properly, it means I can't stay. Yeah. So he started laughing. And then he said, this is nothing. This is the smallest of the hurdles you have to face. He said, bigger hurdle, bigger challenges are coming. Krishna will take you. He will put you upside down. He'll twist you. He will turn you. He will shake you. This is nothing. This is just the smallest of the hurdles. And that gave me the confidence to kind of deal with my parents. That, look, I shouldn't make such a big deal. Let me speak with them, you know, kind of respectfully, nicely, you know, like this. And explain to them. And let's take a step at a time, you know, like this. Few months, 1 year, you know, like this, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So in this way, then somehow, by the devotee's mercy, by Radha Gokulananda's mercy, came to stay at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the rest is history. So here, in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, diplomacy used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Sometimes also the Lord is diplomatic, how he deals with the devotees, the exchanges he has with the devotees. We were hearing of great personalities like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Ramananda Ray, how they're diplomatic, Srila Prabhupada, yeah, how he tricked devotees, how he got devotees to take up to Krishna consciousness and take important steps and further steps into Krishna consciousness. Yeah, we're also hearing how devotees in my life, how they also tricked me, right? So diplomacy can be used in the service of the Lord. It's a form of devotional service. It's a form of devotional service. Now, what if you know that the devotee is actually being diplomatic? The devotee is tricking. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? How can he be tricked by Ramananda Roy? Yeah? How can he be cheated by Ramananda Roy to something that he didn't want to do? He didn't want to meet the king. But he ends up meeting the king by the entreaties of the devotees and specifically Ramananda Roy. How is that possible? Right? How can that happen? So therefore we have to look into the definition of what does it mean to be diplomatic, or what is diplomacy? Yeah? When you look at the dictionary, the definition is in art or practice of, art or practice of dealing with people in a very sensitive or tactful way to achieve peace. Art or practice of dealing with people in a very sensitive or tactful way to achieve peace, or generally to achieve peace. So that's the dictionary definition. And then if you look at the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, knowing how to deal with people. Knowing how to deal with people. Yeah. So there's two aspects to diplomacy. One is the intention, right? And you could say three aspects. One is the intention, the second is the mood or the approach, and the third is the specific activity, the talking, the behavior. Yeah? So in this case, in Ramananda's case, Ramananda Roy's case, we have Ramananda Roy being diplomatic. He speaks to the Lord in an indirect way. Rather than telling the Lord that just meet the king, right? You should meet the king. He's a devotee. Yeah. What Ramananda Roy does is he glorifies the king, right? Glorifies the qualities of the king and how the king has so much love for the Lord. How he's a very advanced devotee, pure devotee. So the means is indirect. However, the intention is pure. Intention is pure. Mood is appropriate. And also the approach is also very respectful and appropriate. Yeah? So because the intention is pure, because the mood is appropriate, yeah, and respectful, therefore, Lord gives in, right? Not because of indirectness, because, okay, he's being diplomatic here. Of course the Lord can see that, yeah? But because the intention is appropriate, intention is pure. And therefore, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, now we see Ramananda Roy, a most confidential devotee of the Lord, diplomatically soften the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite the fact that the Lord definitely decided not to meet the king. The diplomacy of Ramananda Roy and the entreaties of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the other devotees succeeded. So that's also an interesting point being made here as well in the last sentence that I just read. So we had Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then we also had the other devotees as well. And their mood was also very humble, and also very meek and respectful towards the Lord. So how do you change the heart of the Lord? How do you change the heart of other devotees? So when it's repeatedly you approach, you have the right intention, together, you repeatedly pray, you repeatedly approach. And also you approach in a very respectful way, in a very meek and humble way. So in this way, the Lord was won over by the intention of the devotees and their approach. And therefore, Lord, although didn't want to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra, but by the request of the devotees and again, and because of the intention being appropriate, the approach being appropriate, mood being appropriate, he changed his mind. And we will hear later on that he meets Maharaj Pratap Rudra. It's a little bit like the mother trying to give medicine to the child. The child doesn't want to take the medication. So what does the mother do? At least my mother, the child, medicine means bitter and, all of these kind of things, right? Doesn't feel right in the mouth. Sometimes the medicine are uneasy on the throat and the mouth and so on. So what does the mother do? She adds honey to the medication. She may even ground the medication. And then she may even play games, right? Like my mother, she said, close your eyes and also hold your nose and open your mouth and then you won't taste the bitterness, right? So she would get me to do this. Sometimes the mother would play games, right? Okay, here comes the aeroplane, open your mouth, right? And then you gave the medication, like that. So the mother's intention, right, is rightly situated, right? It's pure to help the child. Mother Yashoda's intention was pure. Although outwardly it seems like, what is she doing? She's going to beat Krishna up. She's got a stick in her hand, she's raising a stick, and she's running after Krishna. Her intention is pure. So here we have the devotee's intention is pure. Ramananda Rai's intention is pure. And therefore, Lord is won over. And therefore, the emphasis is on the intention rather than the indirectness, the approach, like that. So once again, we can read the verse, and then if there's maybe one or two questions, text 44, chapter 12, Madhilila. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert. And simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? You had a question? Oh, sorry, Prayojan Prabhu.
Limbs of my soul. Whatever you do with the limbs
It's on us. You just need to put it closer to your mouth.
Prabhupada had the expression of, remember that each of you, all you devotees, are but one of the limbs of my body. And whatever you behave, you affect my body. And the other one I can remember is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. If you love somebody, remember that treat everyone with the same love.
Thank you, Prajan Prabhu. Anyone else? Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the very real and lively class. I was just wondering, with the approach section, like we see in Prabhupada's life and also devotees that we know, sometimes they are diplomatic and sometimes they're very bold. So like, how do we know for our own lives when to take which approach, which is the one that Krishna wants us to take?
Yeah. So yes, we know of Prabhupada, when devotees speak about Srila Prabhupada, that sometimes you'll be like a thunderbolt, right? And sometimes you'll be soft as a rose. So how do we know when we're interacting with other people, when we're cultivating people, when we're trying to get devotees to come to the next level, try to inspire them, and so on in the Krishna consciousness? How do we know when to be bold? And when to be, kind of diplomatic. Yeah. If our intention is right, appropriate, and we're sincere, and we can even, and when we make a prayer to the Lord, then it will be very clear to us that this is what will help the devotee. In this particular situation, if I'm straightforward, if I'm direct, if I'm bold, if I'm strong, this will help the devotee. With this particular devotee, and at the stage where they're at, maybe it's best I softly speak to them, encourage them, inspire them, you know, like that, glorify them, appreciate them. This will help them in their Krishna consciousness. This will help them to come to the next stage. So if our intention is pure, right, then everything else will fall into place. And we can always make a quick prayer. Sometimes we can also seek guidance of other devotees. What do you think? If we're really not sure how to deal with a particular person, what do you think? This is what I'm thinking. So get the guidance of the devotees. If we know the why, then how and other things fall into place, more or less, and what will fall into place. So why is important? Yeah. Why am I doing this? Why do I need to do this? Yeah. What is my intention? Yeah. How pure is my intention? Okay, maybe one more and then we'll stop if there's any questions, comments. Yes, Saras Prabhu.
So, very nice to hear from you and cheer you. That's, I never knew this side to you, and it's quite interesting. Maybe we could add to that, if I may, that what I'm feeling is the sweetness of the interactions between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy and other devotees. And how long could Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continue ignoring that request?
Yes.
Based on the sweetness of their relationships and all those things. So I am feeling sweetness.
Yeah.
The intention is pure, of course, but, you know, hopefully all our intentions are pure, hopefully, in that regard especially. But I'm feeling something here, like sweetness.
Yeah.
How can you resist?
Definitely.
How could he resist for
a long time? And specifically if he's persistent. This is how we can, you know, when it comes to preaching, when it comes to giving Krishna consciousness to others, persistence. So it's not just that we ask someone to come to this program once and then forget about it. Again and again, devotees asked me several times before I actually ended up going to the program, you know, like that. Come and do this service, like that. Persistence, and then also the power is in also the numbers as well. So that's why, isn't it, when some devotee is sick, okay, the devotee community should come together and pray to the Lord, right? So in this way, if the Lord desires, then the devotee may overcome that sickness by the mercy of the Lord. So power is in persistence and also in numbers. Also when it comes to our prayers, sometimes we give up, isn't it, when it comes to prayers? After once or twice, Radha Gokulananda, you know, I'm going through these challenges, this, I want to be Krishna conscious. And then it's like, Radha Gokulananda is not responding, right? But persistence, right? And then especially if you have somehow the devotees on your side and they also kind of, you know, look out for you and make prayers for you, then your life will become perfect. Okay, thank you, Cyrus Prabhu. Thiruna Prabhu.
In regard to that which we just said last, that means like, let's say, the Lord, he has the plan, precise plan for everybody, and he does what he does. Now you have different idea, or even you have a problem. So now you have to change the mind of the Lord. I'm just wondering if he knows what he's going to do, and now you keep bugging, and he changes his mind. That means that first you know what is better maybe for you, and the other is you want to change the plan of the Lord. And the third one is why you should then bug and bother with the Lord for so long before he changes his mind if he doesn't want. I am one of those who are asking twice, and then give up. Okay, there's no any reciprocation. I stop. And indeed, vandanas are my last thing. I just gave it up. I just feel he knows my heart and all that this means, so keep bugging. I just, this attitude of trying to change the mind of the Lord, he has a plan already. So I'm just wondering why the Lord put himself in such a kind of situation to waiting, and then you kind of, okay, keep persisting. Okay, now I'll do. Can you elaborate a little bit?
So Lord may want to bring out the love of us for him. Yeah, how much actually you want me? How much you want Krishna consciousness? Number one. So therefore, he may be very patient in terms of reciprocating. Right? Number one. Number two, ultimately, it is up to the Lord. We may approach and we can go with numbers and we may be persistent, but ultimately the Lord may say, no. Right? So it's not necessary that Lord, just because we're persistently doing it, he's a person. And just because you know, many devotees are doing it, praying for us and so on, it doesn't have to, right? So still the Lord has that free will, just as we have a free will, right? And he can exercise that free will, right, as he sees fit.
This takes persistence of trying, you know, yep. Like he doesn't want, maybe he doesn't want anyway, so why should I spend 1 year?
But it still brings out the love. It still brings out the, you know, because you're engaging in Krishna consciousness when you're doing this, when you're praying, right? When you're, you know, trying to bring the Lord to hear your prayers and so on, and you're kind of gathering the devotees, trying to get the mercy and help from the devotees. This is also a call to the Lord in one sense, and to be Krishna conscious, so to bring that out. Yeah. What else can I say on this? Lord is also dynamic as well. He may have a plan and he may change that plan, and he's powerful enough to then make all the other adjustments. Yeah, and it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada was very confident on this point, right? And therefore he said to the devotees that you follow what I've said, the instructions I've given you, and even if you fall short and you know, the Lord doesn't allow you from the front gate of the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, then I'll take you through the back gate. So advanced devotees have that power over the Lord. Right? So he was very confident in that. So if you follow the instructions, we engage in Krishna consciousness, we bring out our devotion for the Lord more and more, then, and especially if there's an advanced devotee who pleads on our behalf, then the Lord can also change his plans, his mind, his heart, like that. And there are many instances where he's done that. And this is one instance here we're reading about. Okay, thank you very much for your patience. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.